Dr. Perry, who was our district executive minister for a number of years, has just written a paper on every pastor needs a pastor, and I'll leave this with your missions board and with your pastors, because in the age in which we live, pastors are faced with so many things that I wasn't faced with when I began over 40 years ago, and I need to be there. I'm meeting with pastors, I counsel with pastors, I've met with a pastor the last few weeks who's trying to grow in his ability to communicate the Word of God and helping to fine-tune his messages. I did that Friday again. So there are things that God can do through me, even as I've entered into my 81st year of life. I want you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to 1 Peter. As I have been going through my own personal devotional time, I have really been focusing in on what can we, as the children of God, do to enable the people in the world in which we live understand what being a Christ follower is really all about. And as I've been reading a lot of things in magazines, we now get the World Magazine, and talking about the 35 and under age group now that really, even in the evangelical churches, has kind of decided they don't want to believe everything that the Bible says today, because that's old-fashioned, that's not for today. And I'm just going to say that's warn you, because when I became a Christian when I was 32 years of age and went to the University of Iowa and ended up going to the School of Religion there, that's what they were teaching back then, that the Bible isn't really fully the Word of God. You read the Bible, and if it speaks to you, that's the Word of God to you. If it doesn't speak to you, that's for somebody else. And that is a dangerous road to take, and that is, I think, what we call liberalism in the world in which we live, that really doesn't want evangelicals, those who take the Bible to be the Word of God, to be heard or to be understood. When I was young, and that's a long time ago, in our schools, in our buildings around the town, we had the Ten Commandments. I wasn't a believer then, but I somehow read them and knew that this meant something to me as what was right and what was wrong. And as I grew and began to understand what they meant, better what they meant, I have really witnessed how we now miss that kind of thing today, where somehow Christians are not able to really communicate who they are. They have to be so careful because somebody may not be a Christian. And I don't understand that approach to life. Peter was writing to the Christians who were running. They were kind of being under attack. And we read that they were kind of scattered in Asia Minor. And he talks about the fact that they were going to go through trials. There's going to be opposition. They needed to be aware of that. But then he starts in verse 13, chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Would you pray with me? Father God, this is an important text, and I pray that you'll help me to communicate it clearly. Because being holy is misunderstood. Being holy is somehow not what some people want to be. But I'm going to try to help the people who are here today understand why that is so important. It doesn't mean that we're going to be holier than thou, but we're going to be seen as a people who love you, as a people who have decided to take you at your word and be led by your spirit, as a people who will be there to help somebody in need. And that is really, I think, what we need to be about in the day in which we live. So may your Holy Spirit not only speak through me, but give those who are here ears to hear, for I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are times when I wonder, why did God allow me to go through all the things that I went through the first 32 years of my life, when I became an alcoholic and was involved in behaviors that I don't even like to think about today. But then as I began to understand that God taught me what it means to repent of those behaviors, depending upon him for strength, enabling me to become a person who has been changed, and it has really affected my family, my children, my grandchildren. Now we have 6 great-grandchildren who are too young to understand, but they will become to know me as a person who has decided to be transformed by the power of God, by taking God as his word, and by really, really seeking to show him how much I love him. I've got some verses that were going to be on the screen, and we're going to think about 3 things today in the time that I have before we take communion. I think this will help you to be ready to take communion, help you to get yourself right with God, holy in the sight of God, because holiness comes as God does what God can do to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us and to enable us to walk away from some behaviors that he says aren't good for us. You know, I think a lot of people say, God, don't do this because he doesn't want us to have fun. No, these are behaviors that are not good for us. It's not the way he created us. And he wants us to live the best possible life. And you know, now that I'm in my 81st year of life and I'm as healthy as I am, and I've been reading about that, and I knew that I started to walk out of those behaviors early enough, so my body has begun to restore itself and my strength has come, and I am just looking forward to that time when I can meet Jesus face to face. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. Now, the first verse here says, verse 13 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And I would like to have you think about it this way. If you want to really benefit fully from the faith, fully from the hope that God gives us in scriptures, I'd like you to think about living for the moment when you will meet Jesus face to face. And many of us who have been in this a while and we're getting older, that makes more sense to me today. But when I read the papers and I see the young people that are dying, accidents, diseases, things like that, I think they need to hear about this as well. Are you living for that moment when you will meet Jesus face to face? You know, as I've grown in my understanding of faith, I know there's saving faith. When I was 32 years old, God, by his grace, enabled me to have the faith to believe in Jesus. And then he came into my heart in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he began to change me, changing my desires, changing my behaviors. And that is still going on over 49 years now that I've been working at that. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm doing it better. That's saving faith. And then there's past faith, when God has proven himself to me over and over and over again that he is present, that he answers my prayers, that he answers the prayers of my wife and I as we've gone through some difficult times. And then last November, we celebrated our 60th year together. And what a joy to know that we are so close to there. And our lives together are so good. We just really enjoy being with each other. And that is a great thing. That's kind of past faith. But then there's present faith. There's that faith that I have that says, God will be there for me today when I need him. He has promised to do that. I need to just say, God, I need your help. I am being tempted by something that I thought I would never be tempted by again. I am facing something now that seems to be bigger than I know I can deal with without your help. That's that present faith. But what about that future faith that we're seeing in this verse today? That faith that says God has given us a blessed hope. In scriptures, there are many promises that say that there will be a day when we will meet Jesus face to face. There will be a day when it will finally be finished. And I know that as the song says, it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. There's something so special about that. And I don't know if you think about that a lot, but I think you should think about it more. Because some days, the age in which we live, boy, I'm saying, Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to go home. And then I think about all of the people that need to hear and know Jesus in a personal way. In my hometown of Mosinee, I go into our Mosinee Cafe, and I have some of the waitresses, and they see me coming, and they say, Dwayne's here. I don't know where that all came from, but I just call them by name, and I know them. But we're beginning to have conversation from time to time about personal spiritual issues. And sometimes I can say, how can I better pray for you? Not being overly religious, but being the presence of God in someone's life is what's so important. There's a lady called Carrie Breck who in the 18th century, she couldn't carry a tune in a bushel basket, as they used to say. But she loved to write poems. She wrote words that could be put to music, but she couldn't do that. And one day she wrote a poem, she wrote a song. She thought, boy, if I could find somebody that could put this to music, I think God might really use this song. And so she found a man. Tuller is his name, and you have it in your hymn book. I've got it out here. Grant Tuller. This was in 1898, and she sent him the words. And Grant had just written a song, and he tried to find the right words, and he couldn't find the right words. And he received this from this lady, Carrie. And boy, this was God at work. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. About 25 years ago, I had a lady came in. She was a teacher, and she was really kind of new to the church. And she came in, and she says, I just need some help. She says, every day I think I'm going to die. I've been struggling with this for years. Every day I think this is going to be my last day. And by the end of our conversation, I said, I really don't know what else to tell you except why don't you live each day as if that was the day Jesus was going to come and take you home? Why don't you live each moment knowing that this is going to be the day that you're going to see Jesus face to face? And she walked out of my office, and I don't know if she got it at that moment, but boy, did she get it. And she is one of the happiest women I've met, and she's been living for 25 years, enjoying life, living each day, as if this was the day that Jesus was going to come and take her home. And now we're in a group with her and her husband, and isn't that a good, just a simple way to put it? Live each day as if this is the day that you will meet Jesus face to face. John 3:2-3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Titus 2:11-14. This was read earlier on. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled lives, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is good. And then Matthew 5:8, where it says, blessed are the pure in heart. For what? Anybody know what the rest of that is? For they shall see God. When your heart is pure before God, you are enabled to see God's will for your life. When I turned 70 and knew it was time for me to step down from a church that I started 25 years earlier, and I wondered, God, what is your will for my life? And I was praying, and it was probably a week later when I began to think this way that Dr. Perry called me and asked me if I would be the first central area minister in Wisconsin. And I says, what does that mean? And he says, I don't know. You figure it out. And when you figure it out, you write it down and you let me know. And so I did that for about 7 years, and then things changed. And then I asked him if I could serve as the central area minister, but as a missionary. And I have the support from some churches and some people, and it's just enough to cover my expenses. And I am just being blessed. And I had a pastor not too long ago that sent me a note, and he says, I would not be who I am today without your help, without your input. And there's somebody that you can help. There's somebody that you can walk alongside of. And I am now going to be the pastor emeritus of the church that I started. And somebody said, boy, that sounds good. And I said, yeah, it really sounds good. It means, well, I will serve the church, no pay, no authority. Whatever the elders ask me to do, I'm just willing to do it. So it's not like it's not as good as it sounds from the human point of view, but from God's point of view, how can I walk alongside a young man who needs to know what being a Christ follower is all about? He needs to know how God can change their lives, how God can get them ready to meet Jesus face to face. My second point is understand how we grow in Christ-likeness. You know, I used to think, and I had a pastor tell me once, that if I took my Bible and I locked myself in a room and I read my Bible from the front to back over and over again, I would become like Jesus. And I thought, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. And then I begin to think, you know, I know some people like Hitler that memorized the Gospel of Matthew. It didn't help them much, you know. Then I begin to think, no, becoming like Jesus is about loving God. I mentioned this, I'm sure, before, but for the first six years of my life as a Christ follower, I wasn't being changed. My thoughts were the same. My battles were the same. I stayed out of the bars because I knew it was going to cost me more with my wife and my marriage and all that stuff. But then I became aware of what I had missed. I had missed the person and the power of the Holy Spirit to pour God's love in my heart so that I would begin to love God so much that I would not want to do anything that was not pleasing to him. You know, in John 8, verse 29, Jesus says, I always know my Father is near because I always do that which is pleasing to him. Now, I don't always do that. I'm still human after all these years, and there are times when I get impatient or I say something that is not pleasing to God. But those are the moments I can say I'm sorry. I can say, Father, I have sinned. Please hear my prayer. Not only forgive me, but help me to not do that again. Help me not to slide back in old behaviors. But I understand better what it means that God gave us his Holy Spirit, and the first thing the Holy Spirit wants to do is pour God's love into my heart so that I love God so much I want to do that which is pleasing in his sight. John 14, 15 to 17. Jesus is speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Remember when David committed the big sin, adultery with Bathsheba? Didn't understand what he had done for a while. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came down upon him. And in Psalm 51, he is just broken. And what does he say? He says, God, give me a pure heart. Give me a new sense of your Spirit. Purify me. Cleanse me. Open me up to new opportunities to show how I love you. And that is so important for us to get a hold of. 1 Corinthians 2, 15 to 16. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of Christ so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, at times, I just get overwhelmed with all of that. You know, I've been at this, I'm in my 49th year of being a Christ follower. I didn't start until I was 32. And I have so much to learn. I want to get closer to God. I really do. But I do know that being a prayer warrior on behalf of the 23 pastors in our 15 churches in central Wisconsin now is a way that God is using me. And I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock because of a time change. And the first thing I did was prayed for every pastor by name, every church by name, that God would be lifted up, Christ would be lifted up, and God would be glorified, and people would be drawn to him. Maybe as a first-time believer, but also as a believer who's kind of strayed or walked away or done something that they've been afraid to talk to God about, as if God didn't know it. But there's something so good about knowing what it means that Christ-likeness is being someone who so loves God that they take God at his word, they are led by his Spirit, and they live to bring glory to his name. It's not that hard, but it is hard. Because it takes a while to get all that other stuff out of you. It takes a while to say, God, what would you have me to do in this situation? It takes a while every day to say, God, reveal in my heart any sin that I have sinned against you today. So that I can be forgiven, I can be cleansed. And I don't know how often you do that, but probably not as often as we should. Making confession of sin a part of our daily relationship with God. That's really important. My third point, we need to understand the call of God to holiness. You know, I think when I was first a Christian and I went to South Dakota to be a pastor, I'd never been a pastor before. I'd never been a deacon before. I'd never done anything in the church before. So I go to a church in South Dakota, good people, but more legalistic. They were known by the things they didn't do, not more than by the things they did do. But I met a young girl, and she came crying into my office one day, a teenager. And she says, Pastor, they keep saying that I am holier than they are. I says, Lori, isn't that true? What? What do you mean it's true? Are you a Christian? Yeah. Did you invite the Holy Spirit, Christ, in your life, in the person of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. So aren't you holier than they are? I guess I am. But I says, are you acting like you're holier than thou? Are you judging them? Are you putting them down? And we had a time, and she cried, and we worked through some things. But a call to holiness means that I want to please God. You know, there in Scripture, the script, the last one, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Some Bibles say, be holy as I am holy, and I don't think that's possible. God is holy. He sets the standard for holiness. He is pure. He is awesome. He is wonderful, a person that we can worship. Holiness, from my understanding, for me, is being an obedient, loving child that can help people to know that my God is holy. And my God has said that this is wrong for me. And my God has said that this is right for me. Not for you. You can live your own life. You're going to be accountable to God for who you are and what you do. But for me, this is what my God has said to me. He has said that I can be holy by obeying him. I can be holy by asking him to forgive me of my sins when I fail. And I still fail. I'm a long ways. You know, I think somebody at my age would get it all together. I can be holy by representing God well in this life, by representing Christ well in this life. There's a man, Reginald Heber, who was just a young man, and he was doing well, small church, country church. All of a sudden, he went to be a missionary. He ended up being the Bishop of Calcutta early on in the 18th century. And a reason that we don't understand, God called him home at the age of 42 years old. And his wife took her about a year, and finally she says, you know, my husband loved to write songs. And she got some people from the church together, and they began to gather the songs that he had written, and they published them. And it's just amazing. One of the songs that he had written, that if his wife hadn't loved him so much and loved God so much that she decided to publish these songs, reads like this, 1829. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And you know the rest. And such a powerful song. And I think, you know, as I've gotten older, I've become to love the hymns more and more. Especially those that have lasted for 150 or 200 years that really speak to the holiness of God. That really helped me to lift him up and worship him in a way that I can't apart from music. And I love to sing, and I don't sing as well as I used to because of my hearing problems. But if we sing all together, and the people up front sing loud enough, we can just sing it out and lift up our praises. But God says, I want you to develop the mind of Christ. How do we do that? By living for the moment when we will meet Jesus face to face. How do we do that? By understanding better what it means that we can grow in Christ's likeness if we take God at his word and are led by his Spirit. I mean this from my heart. I think when I came to the realization of what I had done because of my alcohol problems, and the things I had done, I was managing the supermarket, stealing from the store. Things were just in a state where I could have ended up in prison. But when I made my decision to be a Christ follower, it was being a Christ follower. And I had no idea what that meant. And I took God at his word, and I studied it. And then when I began to understand in my 6 year of walking in faith that the Holy Spirit could help me to do what God asked me to do, that the Holy Spirit could help me to stop doing what God says I shouldn't do, then I began to understand it. And I began to understand Proverbs 4:23. And if you got a pencil, write that down. Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all, guard your heart, for out of your heart flows everything that you do. Above all, guard your heart, for out of your heart flows everything that you do. And if you love something more of God, you're going to do that. But if you love God above all else, you're going to strive to please him in all that you do. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we prepare to take communion, I pray that we each might take time to confess any sin that we have not told you or talked to you about. You already know it. But it gets in the way of our having a sense of your pleasure in our lives. And as we take communion together, may we better understand what it means that Christ suffered in the body. And we suffer as his body on earth today. But suffering can enable us to become more like Jesus. Because our faith begins to grow. And we better understand that suffering sometimes and oftentimes purifies us. So that we can truly live for that moment that we will meet Jesus face to face. Come down upon us in this moment. Enable us to truly please you. In this time of taking communion. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.